Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Amen. All right, everybody, back up and park. And let's get into the Word of God today. Praise the Lord. Let me just comment briefly upon what Pastor Dan said a moment ago in his introduction. We have been in relationship with this church since right around the time the church started, back in the late 1980s. Our ministry started in 1980, and we had spent a number of years overseas and doing things for the Lord before we got to meet Pastors Jim and Debbie, and got into a relationship with them, which has been maintained all these years. And so it's always a joy for us to be here and to spend time with you, to be with friends and family. We consider this to be our home church. This is our home church. We travel all the time. It's an apostolic ministry, so it's not a locally based ministry. It's transitional, and it's a ministry that involves a lot of travel. So I'm in different churches all the time, but this is our home. Spiritually speaking, this is the home for us. And so we don't get to be here as much as we would like, but we're thankful when we can. And so we wanted to thank you in advance for all the good things you help us to do in the Philippines. As Pastor Dan mentioned, it's a great country to do business for God. They are as open to the gospel as any country I've ever seen or been to. Last summer, in our three mission tours, of which The Rock was heavily involved in the July missions group, a lot of the people on that tour came from The Rock. We were able to lead over 6,200 souls to Jesus in those three mission tours. And we were able to see healed about 1,208 people, I believe that's the figure, healings in the same crusades. So, if you need healing, we're having a healing service tonight. You're most welcome to come back. We encourage you to do so, because the power of God will be present to do that. And so, again, we wanted to thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And we pray for you overseas. Our staff prays for you frequently. And we're so thankful that you are a part of what we do. And without you, we couldn't be doing what we're doing. So we're grateful and we're thankful and we thank you and very, very appreciative. Amen. How many love Jesus once again? Okay. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, whichever you choose to use, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 is where we will begin our message this afternoon, or this morning, nearly this afternoon. Chapter 6 and verse 8 is a challenge and a question that God gives to all of us in the body of Christ. In verse 8, God speaks and says, I heard the voice of the Lord as he says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then the answer comes back from the prophet, here am I, send me. Or if I may paraphrase, here am I am available. Okay, it's what I call the blessings of availability. If you answer like he did, then all of heaven opens up to you. All the promises of God become available to you. Okay, here am I, send me. God is prepared to meet your needs in every way possible, in every way necessary, because you make yourself available to God. Because you answer, here am I, Lord, send me. I am a player. I'm not just a spectator, and I'm not just a Sunday morning critic. I am out there on the front lines doing something meaningful with my life to change somebody's life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's why this church was built. That's why our relationship has been maintained for all these years, because our mindset is the same. We're here to win souls. We're here to share Jesus with people. We're not just here to get stroked and to be blessed and to be edified. We're here to take all of that and go out into the world with all of that and turn our world upside down for Jesus. That's what we're here for. Okay? And God is prepared to meet your needs in whatever way those needs need to be met in order to be the player that God wants us to be, not just the spectator and the commentator that so many Christians are all their lives. So, having said all of that, you may be here today tired, worn out, exhausted, or being tempted to be tired, worn out, or exhausted. And if that's the case, then this message might be very applicable to you. And if it isn't, hang around, because God is, God, and so is the devil. He's going to be what he is, and God's going to be what he is. And so we're going to get shot at. We're going to be attacked. We're going to be maligned. That's just part of life in Christ as we live here on planet Earth. But if you are dealing with exhaustion, and if you are dealing with just weariness and this heavy laden burden of life, you know, you just don't know what I'm going through. And I've been standing in faith for so long for my healing. And I've just been standing in faith for the money to pay my bills. But where's the money? And I'm just tired of trying to do the right thing and blah, blah, blah. Okay, if that's you, then this message is for you. And if it isn't, hang around, because the devil's just working up his next attack against you and you just haven't seen it yet. Okay? I mean, that's what he's here to do, and that's what we're here to do, is to counteract all of that. Listen, your life basically is threefold, in the sense that our responsibilities mean that we are to stay sanctified before God. That's number one. Number two, to remain on the front lines and be players and not spectators. Number two. And number three, know how to deal with the enemy when he tries to step in and stop all of that. How many of you know, the more you want to do for God, the more you're going to get shot at? The bigger the target becomes on your back. The reason that most Christians aren't being shot at is because they're not doing anything. They represent no threat to the enemy. Okay, he has them in his hip pocket, and he really doesn't care what they do. But when you make up your mind to get out there and be involved, then a big target gets placed on your back, and you're going to get shot at. You need to know how to deal with this in the name of Jesus in such a way that you finish your race stronger than when you started. I started my race on September 21st, 1978. That's the day I got saved and got spirit-filled 2 days later. And from then until now, I've seen them rise and I've seen them fall. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I intend to finish the race that I started to run. And when I get up to heaven, I'm going to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not just, "Well, what happened to you?" Okay? Don't need that. Okay. So, let's go to Judges chapter 8. Let's look at a few verses here to help us all deal with this issue of exhaustion, because the battles ahead are going to be more intense than the battles behind. If you've been through some things, okay, I'm glad that you got through those things, but, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Before Jesus returns, this world is going to continue to get darker and darker. We need to shine brighter and brighter. And you can't do that from a place of spiritual exhaustion or physical exhaustion because of spiritual exhaustion. Okay, you can't be there. So, Judges chapter number 8. We don't have time to read the whole passage that leads us to the verses that we're going to look at from the book of Judges chapter 8. But just to summarize, if you read chapters 6, 7, and 8 from the book of Judges, you will discover Gideon and his 300 men and how God used him and those 300 soldiers to deliver and protect the nation from an invading army of Midianite soldiers, which the Bible says numbered 135,000 men. 135,000 soldiers were sent into Israel to tear the place up because of what Gideon had done with a statue and all of this. That's back in chapter 6. But the point is, God called him to raise up an army to defend the country. A call to arms went out. And so, again, we need to understand that, you know, God uses us, but we need to be prepared for what lays ahead when he chooses to use us and what we're going to be facing and then the obstacles and the hurdles and all of this. Okay? So when Gideon put out the call to arms, 32,000 soldiers reported for duty. 32,000 people came to take up arms to defend the country from the invading army of Midianites. It was 135,000 against 32,000. So numerically, it doesn't look good for Gideon at that point. And to make it even more challenging, God comes along and says to Gideon, "Look, there are too many of them here, too many soldiers. I can't use all of these people, because if the victory was won, these guys would think that they won the battle and not me. So I want you to put out a questionnaire and let them answer the questionnaire. And depending upon how they answer, then we'll call it down and we'll just kind of, you know, pare it down a little bit here." So the questionnaire dealt with fear. And the question was, listen, if you're too afraid to fight, if you're just too afraid to contend with the enemy on the battlefield, we can't use you. Go home. That was basically the question that he put out to all these 32,000 soldiers, these people that reported for duty. He watched 22,000 people leave. 22,000 people just walked off and left them with 10,000 soldiers left. Okay, so it's now down to 10,000 against 135,000. And God says, there are still too many. So I want you to take them down to the river's edge and watch how they drink. And I'm going to separate them for you there. If they drink with their head up, looking, you know, with, like a dog, the Bible describes it like a dog with his head up, looking around as they're drinking, set them aside. But if they get down on all fours and drink like that, they don't really care about what's going on around them, you know, no situational awareness, then separate them. So He does and they do. And so the ones that lap with their head up, looking around, you know, while they're drinking, numbered 300. So 9,700 others were sent home. So Gideon is left now with 300 men to defend a nation against 135,000 enemy soldiers. Doesn't look very good in the natural, okay? If I'm Gideon, I'm looking for a new pair of briefs, okay? It doesn't look good, all right? But you know the story, you know, and plus the fact that Gideon didn't have any weapons, didn't have, shields and spears and swords. He had trumpets and pitchers and torches, okay? Trumpets, okay? And so he was told to surround the camp, you know, at night with the 300 men and blow the trumpets and break the pitchers, you know, and shout the sword of the Lord and Gideon and all of this. And he does. And while he does this, then, of course, in the dark, the enemy becomes confused and thinks that the enemy out there is much larger in terms of a force than it actually is. And they start panicking and they end up killing each other off. Gideon never, you know, does anything except just blow the trumpet and shout the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And as a result, 120,000 Midianites kill each other off in the middle of the night. And now as we move into Judges chapter 8, Gideon and his 300 men are in pursuit of the remaining straggling survivors, numbering 15,000. 15,000 soldiers are in full retreat in the middle of the night in fear and panic, okay, thinking that there's a much larger force chasing them down, when in reality, it's Gideon and 300 men and trumpets. And this is where we are. Okay, so Judges chapter 8 and verse 4. So it says in the fourth verse from Judges chapter 8, when Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him, they crossed over exhausted, but still in pursuit. Please underline or highlight that phrase, exhausted, but still in pursuit. I love that statement. Because from time to time, we will face the temptation of exhaustion. I don't know, you might be there today, or you might be feeling that the pressure to give up or to cave in to the fear or to the sickness or to the bad report or the financial indicators or whatever the case may be. If that's you, follow his example here. He was exhausted, but still in pursuit. He knew he had the enemy on the run. He knew he had the advantage. He knew it, and he wasn't going to let the enemy get away. Okay? You have to have that same kind of mentality. This is an end time mindset that you have to have and protect. You can't just think that you're going to cruise into church on a Sunday morning and listen to a sermon for 45 minutes and think that's enough these days to make it to the end of the finish line without compromise. That's a very naive position you have, and you need to change that, because as I said, the world's getting darker and darker, and you're going to get brighter and brighter if you understand some of this. If you have a mindset that allows God to be great, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, we are what we are by the grace of God. You know, Gideon did what he did by the grace of God. You do what you do. I do what I do by the grace of God. We're not the ones out there making this happen on our own. The grace of God is designed by God to carry us through those times when by exhaustion we're tempted to quit, tempted to give up, tempted to throw in the towel, tempted to say, I ain't going to church no more. I tried that faith stuff and that stuff didn't work, you know, and I've been standing in faith for my healing for 3 weeks and I don't feel any different and blah, blah, blah. You know, listen, when you're in that type of mindset, you are vulnerable to the enemy.
That's right. That's right.
And I'll tell you, honey, he'll take what you give him.
That's right.
Okay? And you and I have to come to this mindset right here. You have to be ruthless with the way you deal with the enemy. And you have to go after him until he is of none effect in your life. You have to shut him down. You have to cut him off. You cannot allow him to have any place in your life. Okay? Cannot allow, cannot tolerate anything like that in your life anymore, because if you give him a crack in your armor, he will make a way in. He's an expert at that, okay? You need to be like Jesus. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. And I want to be a lean, mean fighting machine for Jesus. I don't want any excess on my life. I don't want any, you know, baggage I got to carry around, any sin I'm dealing with. I want to be a lean, mean fighting machine for the Lord. A sharp sword that he can use whatever way he wants. Amen. And if you have that kind of mentality, you'll make it to the finish line stronger than you started this race, and God will be proud to bring you home. Praise the Lord. Come on in. Come on in. You know, that's the way I want to finish this thing. That's the way I want to finish this, and I hope you do too. Look with me, if you would, at Psalms number 18. This is a great psalm. They're all great, but this one is especially great for the message that we're looking at here today. Look at 18 and verse 29. We'll read a few verses here. And I want you to catch the mindset behind the verses we read, because it's a mindset you have to have, that I have to have, because to have it, we're going to make it to the finish line, and we are going to torment the devil at every turn the way it's supposed to be, okay? Instead of the devil tormenting us, we are going to be tormenting him. Psalms 18, verse 29. Some of these verses are very familiar to you, I'm sure. We've sung some of these in songs, and we've declared some of this. Here we go, verse 29. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, sets me upon my high places. Now look at verse 34. He teaches my hands to make war. We're here to make war. We are in war, and we're here to make war in the name of Jesus. Okay? And he's going to teach our hands how to do it. So that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Verse 35, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. Now here's the key verse, verse 37. Here's the mentality. Here's what Gideon was doing. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You've subdued me under those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Guess who hates you? The devil. He hates your guts. If he could kill you in the next 10 seconds, he'd do so. He'd kill us all if he could, but he can't. He has to get our permission. And one of the ways he gets our permission to get into our life, to wreak havoc and to steal, to kill and to destroy, is to get us to a place of exhaustion where we're tired of standing in faith, and we're tired of confessing the scripture, and we're tired of putting up with immature people, and we're tired of putting up with demonic attack, and we're tired and we're exhausted. That's a place of vulnerability that we have to protect ourselves against. Amen. Read these verses. This is a mindset here. I'm going to pursue my enemies and I'm going to run them down until they have no more power to influence my life in any negative way. I'm going to smash them, crush them, rush them. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. They are going to be made to pay for trying to come into my life. I'm going to make them pay for trying to kill my wife or my husband or my family or my children or my business or my whatever it is or my ministry. Okay? Make him pay. Make him suffer for it. You know, when Jesus encountered the madman of Gadara, this is Mark chapter 5, that madman ran up to Jesus. The demons inside were all talking to Jesus, you know. And they said to Jesus, we know who you are. We know who you are. You're the Son of God. And Jesus says, shut up. You know, I don't need to hear from you. I don't need some demon, you know, giving me, you know, any points. And one of these questions the demons asked him, he says, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. And here's the question. Have you come to torment us before the time? That was the question. Have you come to torment us before the time? Listen, we're here to torment the devil. Give God the glory, win souls, and simultaneously torment the devil at the same time. Amen. You got to develop a healthy hatred for your enemy. Okay? You know, the Bible talks about love, love, and more love. And we emphasize this because without love, you know, faith won't work and so forth. And we're commanded to walk in love. You're also commanded to learn to hate your enemy. Yeah, we got all kinds of love conferences. I don't find many hate conferences around where we all line up to learn how to hate the enemy. But we need some of those. Praise the Lord, because you need to hate the devil like he hates you. You need to go after him like he's trying to go after you. Amen. You need to take the fight to him. Quit waiting for him to take the fight to you. You take it to him with an attitude like Gideon, running them down, you know, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Amen. Listen, look at this, man. Look at some of these statements here. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. Now, you can't kill the devil in a physical sense because he's a spirit. But at the same time, you can nullify and neutralize his effect in your life. So he has no place in. This is where I want to go. This is where you need to be. This is where I need to be. This is where we all need to be as we run our race for the Lord Jesus. Look at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter number 10. And we're going to begin in verse number 7. Chapter 10 and 7 is the verse we start with. This passage, beginning in the 7th verse, talks about a military effort, an operation leading to a battle where, according to my references and my study of the Bible, produces the greatest natural miracle that we can find in the Bible. This is where the sun is standing still in the sky based upon the proclamation of Joshua. He said, sun, stand still, moon, don't move, because we need more time to kill off the enemy. And God stopped the spin of the earth. You know, the sun didn't actually stop there. What actually happened was the earth stopped spinning, therefore the sun stayed there. That's what actually happened astronomically. But because of what Joshua said, God stopped the spin of the earth for 24 hours because Joshua needed more time to prevail in battle. So he did, and Joshua did, and there was this great victory. But before all of that could take place, something had to happen here that many Christians read right over. And it begins in verse 7. Look with me there. It says, Joshua ascended from Gilgal. Please look at the word ascended. This means they're going uphill. They're ascending. They're not descending. They're not going downhill. They're going uphill. Okay? They ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Joshua, don't fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Okay, great. But look at verse 9. Therefore, Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal, marched uphill all night. Okay, this is what the military referred to as a forced military march. This is with all the battle gear. Okay, they got the backpack, they got their weapons, they got all the peripheral whatever they need, you know, and they are marching uphill all night to get into position to launch the attack suddenly against the enemy. And they did, and God did, and it was a great victory. But my point is, I am sure many of these soldiers, halfway through the night, are thinking, what in the world are we doing, man? This is rough. This is tough. You know, this was on a spur of the moment kind of thing. You know, Joshua just assembled everybody together because the people cried out, hey, we're under attack. We need you to come quickly right now or we're toast. And so Joshua got them all together and got all their gear together and said, let's go. It's the middle of the night. We got to get to where we need to be by sunrise. And I'm sure many of the soldiers said, man, you know, by the time sun came up, they're exhausted, they're tired, but they were ready to launch the attack because they were prepared. You and I need to be prepared for the next attack. You need to understand what's coming down the road. Can anyone say amen? Amen. That means you need to develop a mindset like what Gideon had, like what Joshua talks about, like what Jesus spoke about. Okay? We need to come to a place where we understand, you know, our best days are all ahead of us. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have to fight the fights of faith to get there. You may have to walk all night long. You may have to ascend in your life, so to speak, to get to where you need to be, to see the miracle of God where the sun stands still in your sky. And that's okay, because if we get up there, God will be waiting for us up there with all the weaponry, all the promises of God, all the yes and amens in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to move beyond your feelings by choice. Move beyond your feelings by choice. Okay? Quit living by feelings. Move beyond the feelings. I'm just so tired. Well, I'm tired too. But you keep at it. You keep confessing the word when you are tired. You don't feel like praising the Lord, but you stick your hands up in the air and do it anyway. It's called the sacrifice of praise. You don't feel like it all the time. I don't feel the presence of God all the time, but I know He's with me because He said He'll never leave me. Whether I feel Him or not, He's around because He said so. The Holy Spirit's inside of me whether I feel like He is or not. He's not going anywhere. Greater is He in me than he that's in the world. Amen. This is how I counsel my pastors overseas. They usually come in for this once. They go through this once and then they never come back. You know, because a lot of these guys, they've been fed a lot of theological crap that doesn't mean anything. You know, about, you know, we're worms of the dust, you know, the devil can push us around, you know, I'm dealing with witches and warlocks and demon-possessed people, and what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to put your helmet back on, pick up your weapon, slap yourself around a little bit, and then go back out there and re-engage the enemy. That's what you're going to do. My counseling sessions are usually about 3.5 minutes. Then we move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the point is, listen, let God's grace do what God's grace is designed to do for you. Amen. You're not going to win friends and influence people all the time. Jesus didn't do it. Amen. He had enemies. You know, your neighbors already think you're crazy because you go to this church. I mean, you've already lost your reputation in the neighborhood, so never mind what they think. They already thought you're nuts. But I got to tell you something. They'll laugh at you behind your back. They'll make fun of you. They'll tell jokes about you all day long until they get sick and the doctor has no answer. Until their kid gets sick with a bloody flux of some kind and they can't figure out what's wrong. And then they'll come knocking on your door. Hey, do you mind? You know, I've heard you people, you know, believe in healing over there at the Rock. And can you come and pray for little Johnny? He's sick with a bloody flux and we don't know what's going on. And the doctor has done. Sure, I'll come over. And so you walk over and you pray for Johnny and the power of God hits Johnny and blows him across the room. And when mom peels Johnny off the wall, she's going to have questions about where she goes, where you go to church. Amen. And Johnny will be there. I guarantee Johnny's going to show up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was a student at Rhema, and we went through the whole year. And I lived in this little efficiency apartment on 9th Street. I went over there the other day. We were there for something, and I went by. It's still there. It's just a rundown dump. But, I mean, that's where it was a little efficiency apartment. I was at Rhema. That's all I could afford. So that's where I did my studies, lived there while I did my studies. And I used to go, you know, I used to get in that apartment and just shout and scream and throw chairs everywhere and turn things over, you know, talking about how I'm going to go to the Philippines. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to kick the devil around, you know. I'm going to build churches. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And I used to get all excited and throw things and knock all the magnetos off the ref, you know, the whole nine yards. And, you know, this was a two-story structure. I was on the ground floor, apartment number 7, 107, and there was a 207 above me. And I knew that there was an elderly couple living up there because I could see them coming and going throughout the course of the year. But we never met. We never met until the end. There was a breezeway from the inner court of the apartment complex to the parking lot where they would park the cars, where the tenants would park their cars. So you'd have to pass through this breezeway to get from the inside to the courtyard to the outside where your car was. So just a couple weeks before I was to leave and go to the Philippines for the first trip over, okay, I parked my car and I'm coming in, and this elderly couple in their 70s, mid-70s would be my guess, they're coming out, and they're coming out to their car and I'm coming in. So we meet in the breezeway. So, you know, as people do, just to be polite, we exchange glances and hi, how are you, and, you know, like that. And I said, I'm Mike Keyes, and I live down in 107. And the lady, as sweet as she could be, said, oh, young man, we know, oh, you're the young preacher, aren't you? I said, well, yes, I'm, yeah, okay. I go to Rhema, and I'm preparing. How did you know that? She says, oh, young man, we listen to your sermons through the floor. I said, what? She said, we don't go to church. We just listen to you. We don't need to go to church. We just sit there and take notes. You have very good sermons. You know, I could just see them upstairs. That's a good point, honey. Write that one down. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I used to scream and shout and rant and rave, you know, because I'm preparing for where I'm going to go. See, wherever you're going to go, you need to adopt this kind of mindset we're talking about here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look with me at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, again, the verse that, you know, many of us know for sure. We've seen this many, many times, okay? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus is the speaker, and this is what he says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn from me. Notice, learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, take that easy yoke statement and that light burden statement in the context of the four Gospels. He didn't just make that statement. He made other statements too. He talked about the abundant life. I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. And, you know, people camp at those certain verses because that's all the feel-good stuff. But, you know, he also talked about persecution. You know, talked about the hundredfold return, you know, all these conferences, you know, the hundredfold were there, return for this and return for that. But in that same statement, he said, you know, you'll also get a hundredfold return on persecution in this life. Okay, in this life, he said, okay. You know, a lot of people are standing around for the 100-fold return on their money, but not that many that I've ever met are standing around for the 100-fold return on the persecution. But it's a package deal, okay? So when he talks about finding an easy yoke and getting a light burden and all of this, and if you're weary and laborious and heavy laden and all of this, okay, you need to understand what we're talking about today. If you're tempted to just give up and throw in the towel, you're exhausted, you're tired, you've had enough. You know, I'm tired of being a Christian. I'm tired of just trying to live right. I'm tired of trying to live a sanctified life surrounded by unsanctified people. Follow what he says here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, Jesus was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. 33 and a half years without one mistake made. It's amazing when you stop and think about the fact that he was surrounded by 12 buffoons, clowns, and idiots disguised as disciples. Amen. I mean, you know, how many times would he just roll his eyes and say to God, how long must I be with these people? How long must I put up with these clowns? He never committed sin, not one time, ever. Praise the Lord. Devil went after him with everything he could think of because he knew who he was. He knew Jesus was it. This is it. If I can get him, I got everybody. He said, learn from me. So I'm going to give you these three things in conclusion for our service today. Three things that Jesus practiced and you practice too. He followed the word of God. So this is what the word of God tells us. You know, follow him because he followed the word. So if we follow the word, we'll be following him. Number one, three things. If you want to avoid the exhaustion, get to the end of the race stronger than you were at the beginning, here's what we do. Number one, get with God. Spend time with the Lord. Well, I go to work and I'm so busy and I'm so tired. Well, find the time, honey. You know, some people are morning people. Some people are night people. I don't care when you do it, but spend some time with God each day. Spend some time in the presence of the Lord, because the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're not talking about being spiritual hyenas here. We're not talking about people running around giddy, you know, with their frothing at the mouth, you know, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We're talking about just being full of joy because we know who we represent. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Praise the Lord. And the devil is afraid of us rather than we being afraid of him. That's reality. Get with God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31 tells us, if you are with the Lord, your strength will be renewed. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. I want my strength renewed every day, every day, every day, especially when I'm tired, when I've had enough of people being people or dealing with demons or whatever the case may be. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. We'll get to the finish line and we'll cross that tape, praise the Lord, stretching for the tape like those runners do, stronger at the end than we were at the beginning. That's number one, get with God. Number two, get with people of like precious passion. Don't just get with people of like precious faith. Get with people of like precious passion. People who are sold out to this like you are, okay? People who are even crazier than you are. People that are more wild than you are. People that are more committed to this than you. Amen. Are you listening? You know, I've been at this for 40 years. This is my 40th year serving Jesus. From 78 to 2018, now I'm into the 41st year, really. And I, you know, listen, I can count on two hands the number of people that I would turn to in a crisis in my life. Because you can be friendly with a lot of people, but you need to be careful about who you bear your soul to in times of crisis. You need to be very, very, very selective. In my life, when I'm up against the wall, when I'm facing Mission Impossible, whatever that may be to me, I want to surround myself with people like Pastor Dan, Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, people that who have been where I've been. They have something to add to the situation, amen, that will help me prevail in the name of Jesus. Who are your friends? Ask yourself, who are your friends? If they're a bunch of Job's comforters, you need to love them and dump them in the name of Jesus and move on. Be warm, be filled, and be gone from my life in the name of Jesus. Find some new friends. Amen. Go to a church like this. Make some friends here. Okay? Don't hang around a bunch of Job's comforters, triple-minded people, Melba Toast milksops. Whatever. Okay. Number three. First of all, get with God. Number two, get with people of like precious passion. Number three, get with yourself. Encourage yourself when no one else is around to encourage you. You can do it to yourself. Anytime, anywhere. It's called the sacrifice of praise. Put your hands in the air when you don't feel like it. Start confessing the word when you don't want to, when you're too tired to. Get on your knees and start declaring your destiny. Amen? Because you have angels, by the way. Do you know this room is full of thousands of angels here right now? They're here on assignment. They are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of salvation. They're here to help you. But they hearken to the voice of the word, the Bible says. So when you speak the word, they go to work. If you don't speak the word, they stand there with their arms folded waiting. Thinking, when is this turkey going to get their act together and start giving us something to work with here? Amen. The Bible says, do all things without complaining and murmuring. Christians are champion complainers. World champion murmurers. They murmur, they complain. I've been there, and God will just pull me aside and say, will you please shut up? You're not giving me anything to work with. You're giving the devil free ammunition, and honey, he'll take the ammunition you give him. Quit complaining. Quit mumbling. Start confessing the scriptures. Build yourself up. Well, there's nobody around. Well, you do it to yourself. Like I did with the elderly couple. I blessed them. They're probably in heaven rejoicing right now because they were in 207 when I was in 107. How do I know? I don't know. But the point is, you do it because you need to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Where's the verse for that? Well, let's see. First Samuel 36, that's the verse we used. Yeah, I forgot to give you the verse for number two, just mark it down. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. We won't go there to read it, but it's basically Paul admonishing the Thessalonians to find people in their life to encourage them and build them up in their faith. That's for number two. For this one, number three, it's 1 Samuel 30:6. We'll use that as our reference for the point. This is where David is at Ziklag. And all the soldiers are about ready to stone him because they're blaming him for what happened at Ziklag. David went out on military operations, and while he was gone, the enemy came in and routed the town and took all their relatives away captive and burned their houses to the ground. And now, you know, the soldiers are blaming David for all this. They're saying to David, it's all your fault because of you. If we were not with you, we would have been there to defend our homes and defend our family. We've lost our homes now. We've lost our children. This is your fault. And they're picking up stones to throw at him. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. There will be times when people are picking up stones to throw at you. You better learn how to encourage yourself. Amen? Because sometimes Pastor Dan isn't available for counseling. Sometimes Pastor Jim's not around for counseling. You got to do it to yourself. Thank God for when people are there to lift up your arms like Aaron and Hur lifted up the arms of Moses. But they're not always going to be there. But you are always there. The Holy Spirit's always there. Praise the Lord. And you got a mouth to declare your destiny. So do so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Exhausted, but still in pursuit. Amen. And if the devil comes along, then throw him out of the way. Amen. I was mentioning in the second service years ago, we had a witch doctor try to disrupt our service in the Philippines. This was many years before we had our own team, you know, they would have known what to do. But back then it was all volunteers. And this witch doctor, this chick, about 25 years old, jumped up on the stage, grabbed the microphone and tried to put spells on people in the middle of my crusade message. The gall that this woman expressed, you know, it's like, what? You know, we got a big banner back here, you know, crusade ministry, come be blessed, you know, and she's putting spells on people and they're all starting to run away. And so, you know, I said to God, what do we do? He said, do something about this now. Okay. So she's at the microphone. She's putting spells on people. I walked up from behind, grabbed her by her shoulders and spun her around so she's looking at me. Then I grabbed her by the front, took the microphone and tossed it away, grabbed her by the front of her blouse, lifted her up and threw her off the stage. Amen. Somebody says, well, that's not very spiritual. You're right. But it was very effective. Yeah. Yeah, we never saw honey buns again for the rest of the crusade. I'm sensing a little bit of resistance here. What do you think? You know, never saw her again. Praise the Lord. You do what you got to do, I always say. But the point is, this is not a Dale Carnegie church. We're not here to win friends and influence people. We are out here to turn the Inland Empire upside down for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, slap yourself and say amen again. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.